My brother-in-law is a brilliant man. Now, his profession, he's an electrical engineer, but the kind of electrical engineering he does is so way up here that most people don't understand what he does. But he was telling me a story about his college days when he was working in his postgraduate degree at Clemson University. And there were some people there who were working on their PhDs as well. They were trying to develop an artificial human finger joint. And they had reached the point in their research where they needed to do animal testing. So they had to implant one of these things in an animal. And the animal that they found that had the closest thing to a human finger joint, you ready for this? The domesticated turkey. Yeah, the butterball, the big white fat turkey. Okay, so they put this thing in a turkey's feet, and they had to exercise these turkeys, so all these college students would be wandering around the Clemson University campus with turkeys on leashes, exercising their feet. And my brother-in-law said, you should never let anybody call you a turkey. He says, because they are really, really stupid birds. He says, these birds would be out walking, and it would start to rain, and they'd feel water on their head, and they'd go, and they'd stand there with their mouths open and would literally drown in the rain. So the kids who were holding these leashes with these turkeys would have to hurry them up before they did something stupid like that. Now, I have to tell you that ever since my brother-in-law told me this story, that every time I read the reading that we did today of the Lord's Ascension, I think of that story because the disciples, the apostles, all remind me of the turkeys just so mesmerized. They're just standing there. They're transfixed. And so these two angels have to come down like a couple of drill sergeants and tell them, all right, you turkeys, what are you doing standing around? Didn't the Lord give you an assignment? Move along, move along. Don't we all do that sometimes? Don't we stand by and say, okay, Lord, what's next? What am I supposed to be doing? Don't we do that? But you know, as people of faith, we, like the apostles, actually already have a mission from God. Our Lord told them right before he went up, go out and make disciples of the whole world. And that's what we're called to do. And we do it as members of his body, the church. Now, today's readings are really, really good at overlapping and explaining this whole message, okay? We start out, of course, with Acts of the Apostles. Now, the book of Acts of the Apostles was written by Luke the Evangelist, the same guy that wrote the Gospel of Luke, okay? And in Acts of the Apostles, he's trying to show how the church is the new people of God. Like, the people of Israel were God's people in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, but now they've been replaced by the New Covenant, the new people of God. And so he uses phrases that help us to see this. He talks about Jesus preaching for 40 days. You know, he didn't have to say 40, but he did. Why? Because he wants us to think of the 40 years of Israel wandering in the desert. Now, when Jesus does go up, and notice the love that our Lord gives to these people, okay? The ancient Israelites pictured the entire creation as this big flat plain of land covered by a dome, which was the sky. And that heaven, where God lived, was above the dome. And I guess there were like little gates at the top of the dome that you had to go through. So when Jesus left the earth for the last time, he didn't just sort of, you know, disappear, kind of like he did at some of his post-resurrection experiences where he would suddenly be there and suddenly be gone. He quite visually lets them see him going up into the sky, going heavenward, going towards the place where God lives. But he doesn't go out through a trap door or anything. He goes up into a cloud. Think again about the Exodus story. There was a cloud there all throughout Exodus. The cloud represented the presence of God, the Spirit of God, as it led the Israelites through the desert. The Spirit of God, the cloud filled the temple with his presence. The cloud, God's presence, was on top of Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. It's got two names. When Moses went and got the Ten Commandments. So this is telling us the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, the church, is the new people of God, the new assembly of God called together. and they travel in mission. Now, when Jesus tells the apostles that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit overpowers them, Luke uses the exact same phrase here that he did at the Annunciation, the words of the angel to Mary. He wants us to see the connection of the power of the Holy Spirit, that just as the Holy Spirit caused the physical body of Jesus, incarnate, to grow within the womb of Mary, so too now the Holy Spirit will cause the mystical body of Christ to grow throughout the world. Now, this mystical body of Christ has Jesus as its head, and all of the people of the world, us included, are parts of that body. It's another sign of our Lord's love that as head of the body and with us being part of it, our Lord is inviting all of mankind to participate in its own salvation, in its own getting right with God by being a part of this mystical body. Then Mark's gospel lists several things that it says will be signs of what the mystical body will do. They will drink poison without being hurt. They will handle serpents. They will drive out demons. They will speak different languages. They will have healings. Now, the ancient church fathers, some of the early saints, people like St. Augustine, for example, tell us that we're not supposed to take those things quite literally and do these things one at a time. I mean, you know, if Father Kyle and I were to pick up water moccasins or rattlesnakes and run around the building shaking them at you, I think y'all be pretty much disturbed by that. But what they want us to do is to see this as the collective work of the body. So when we talk about driving out demons, the church still performs exorcisms. It's rare, but we still do it. When it talks about speaking in new languages, do we not proclaim the word of God in almost every single human language in the world today? St. Augustine points out the drinking of poison and the handling of serpents represent how the church can endure the poison of heresy and can withstand the temptation of the serpents and not be harmed. And the church has continued all this time despite heresies and temptations that have cropped up from generation to generation. Then we look at St. Paul. He speaks of the diversity within the body. He says how the Holy Spirit inspires prophets, preachers, apostles, and he goes on and on and on with a whole list of different things, showing how the Holy Spirit gives gifts to individual people, different gifts to different people in each age to help the growth, to maintain the body of Christ, the church. And with that body, the head, our Lord Jesus, is ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. And why does he do that? It's the completion of his mission. He came down from heaven to create this body and then to go back and have us reconnect with God our Father. And so he sits there, as we say in our creed, interceding for us until such time as the Father deems for him to come back the same way that he left. And so that leaves us with some questions for ourselves. What part of Christ's body am I? We should each ask ourselves that. What part of the body of Christ am I? And there are no unimportant parts. You know, my finger is part of me, but it's not all of me. It's an important thing. So is my hand, so is my arm. In the same way, each one of us needs to take some time and examine and see, what sort of gifts do I have? What sort of charisms? What sort of talents? For some things, it's easy. You know, if you've got a musical ability, well, you know, you can sing. You can be a cantor. You can be in the choir. If you're good at reading, you can come be a lector. If you're talented artistically, you can help decorate. But these things don't have to necessarily be limited to liturgy. Maybe your talent is organization. You know, you could do something like help out with a parish festival or a parish fund drive. And it doesn't even need to be limited just to your own parish. People have gifts that can help out in the world to attract other people, to become disciples, to become a part of that mystical body. And each of us are called to try and use our gifts and talents to do exactly that. That leads to our next question. How am I making disciples for Christ in the world today? How do I go about doing it? We're not all called to go run down to the Amazon and preach to the natives that they just discovered down there. Some people will. We're called to make disciples right where we are, in our own homes, in our cities, in places where we work. How do we do that? By living our faith in every aspect of our lives. Because there's going to come a time when somebody in your family, in your workplace, in the shopping line somewhere, just absolutely frazzled, is going to turn to you and go, how do you do it? How do you hold it together? And you can honestly tell them, it is my faith, it is my connection to the body of Christ, the church, that helps me to do this. And they will say, I want what you've got. You will have made a new disciple for Christ. And in order to do that, we have to ask ourselves, do I keep myself connected to the body of Christ by attending Mass, by connecting through the sacraments? You know, if you cut my arm off, it's not going to be much use to anybody. But connected to the body, it is. In the same way, if we separate ourselves, if we don't come on Sunday to be part of the assembly, to be part of the people, we miss that connection. Our presence here, each one of our individual presences here, builds up the faith of everyone else that is here. And by participating in the sacraments, we link ourselves to the grace that our Lord gives us in the Eucharist, the source and the summit of our faith. He's there to strengthen us, to help us on our journey, to help us complete the mission that He gave us to go out and make disciples of the whole world. So we don't need to stand around staring up into the sky. We've got work to do. God love you.